Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our worship here, and welcome to a new church year. We've had some people, and I'm grateful, actually, for this, that have been rather astute regarding our church year. They've been asking a question that all of a sudden what we're doing here at church with the church year and what they're doing is they're looking like at the Synod's daily devotion or something like that, doesn't seem to be lining up. And I'm actually grateful for that. I just want to take a moment to describe to people, in a lot of the church today, they don't start Advent for another week yet. For whatever reason, the people that do the church year decided that even though Christmas Eve falls on a Sunday this year, that they set that particular Sunday, Christmas Eve, as the fourth Sunday in Advent. Now, of course, here on Christmas Eve, we're going to be celebrating Christmas Eve. So at some point, we're going to be losing a Sunday where, you know, we're not going to be doing any of the scripture lessons or anything else like that. So it basically came down to, do we lose a Sunday in Advent, or do we maybe end the church year a Sunday early, taking out like the second last Sunday of the church year, something like that, where the themes are basically the same themes repeated the Sunday before and the Sunday after. And for me, it was an easy call. The Advent season is short enough as it is. I want to make sure that we have four Sundays to celebrate the season of Advent. So Advent begins today here. We celebrated Christ the King last week, and so we'll be ahead of the rest of the church by a week, but then we'll be able to take four different Sundays to recognize the themes of Advent, including the wreath and whatever else. Regarding getting ready for Christmas, though, which is part of what Advent's all about, remember that next Sunday, after we get finished with worship here, we ask you to stick around. We're going to be bringing in some lunch, some pizza, and so forth. We're going to be hanging the greens here. So the more people we have doing it, the quicker it gets done. And since, you know, you notice we have the sacrament today, it is not a service of Holy Communion, so we'll probably be able to get right to it and get it done just as quickly as we can. We hope, especially you folks that come to 11 o'clock church, will join us next weekend for that. We've talked a little bit about this. Do you like free pie? Bring a friend to any worship service on Saturday, Sunday, or Wednesday between yesterday and then the 13th of December. Now, we kind of got another little thing going on with that. We're going to have some special Christmas treats that are going to be in the form of a nice cane. I think you know what I'm talking about. We're going to have them just outside the door. They got little messages wrapped to them that look a little bit like this, but reminds us also of the themes of what it is that we're trying to do. Just so you'll know, somebody last night won themselves a free pie, because that's exactly what they did, was bring a friend to church. As part of, since it did say Saturday, Sunday, Wednesday, a reminder that we worshiped for Thanksgiving here this past Wednesday night. Now, for the next three Wednesday nights, there are actually four of them for our meals, but for the next three Wednesday nights, both meal and worship is going to be happening over in our Christian Life Center. We're going to have a meal at 6:30, worship at 7:15 for the next 3 weeks, and then that fourth week, yes, there will be a meal over there, but then we'll bring that carol service with the Christmas ornaments here for that last one. So next 4 weeks, meals at 6:30 in the Christian Life Center. Also, in our bulletin today, there was a little thing about the order form for the Christmas poinsettias. You might want to take a look at that, because the deadline for that comes up quickly. You can place those in honor of somebody. And then I wanted to show you this. This just doesn't happen very often in our synod, and I think it's an important event. I have here in my hands, at last, a copy of our church's new catechism. Now, I know that, you know, for a lot of our people, maybe they haven't had these off the shelf since they were confirmed. But what is in here is so amazing. It's so up-to-date to address the issues that we face here in the 21st century. Now, back in 1986, and that was over 30 years ago, but back in 1986, they updated the front part of the catechism. That's where our church officially took out the thou shalt that a lot of us learned and replaced it with you shall. none of that changes. All of that in the front part of our catechism, as we've gotten used to it, is still the same. But most, you know, that part that Martin Luther wrote is only about like that much of the catechism, very little of it. All the rest of this is explanations to what is in the front part of the catechism. This is what has completely changed. And it helps us to better understand all of the parts of the commandments, the creed, the Lord's Prayer, the portions about baptism. The new copies now, and we've got another shipment coming in tomorrow, and if we have to have 8 shipments, we'll do it. They're $15 a piece, and starting in March, we're going to have kind of a little summary of all of the things we're going to be doing it between the services, a little bit of a glimpse of what is now in this and some of the things that will help us to learn. But we'd like as many people as possible getting your hands on these. Again, $15 each. You can call the church office and order them. The first shipment, as I said, I think there's 10 coming in tomorrow, and there's more coming in after that. So that is all that I have. A reminder that the Ladies Guild Christmas luncheon is next week on the Wednesday morning at noon. I think tickets are being passed out for that now, but if you need one, you can still get that. Last thing is regarding Saturday worship. I know that some of our people here do go occasionally to Saturday night worship. Just so you will know, this coming Saturday night is when we're going as a group out to supper. Obviously, if you don't want to, you don't have to. But we try to do that as an evening fellowship for our Saturday worshipers. We're going down to IHOP down US 19. We hope that you can join us for that. A Mocha meeting follows. For those of you in Mocha or want to become a part of Mocha, you can stay, but you don't have to if you don't want. But in 2 weeks, we have gotten ourselves to the point where we try to have worship here every Saturday night. But in 2 weeks, we will not be having worship. The Newport Richey Christmas Parade is during that time. Our Faith Factor is already going to be engaged in that. And so what we're going to do is we're going to encourage people to go to the Christmas parade, enjoy watching Faith Factor and whoever else is out there for that. It probably is as good a use of our time, especially as you watch what our people do in the places when they are in public. Okay, please let us know that you were here. Those Faith Fellowship cards that are in the racks in front of you, you can fill them out, and at the conclusion of the offering, you can give those back to the ushers. As you are able, please stand. Our order of worship is from Divine Service Setting 1 from page 151 in our hymnal, so you may follow along on the screen. We begin by calling to mind our baptisms. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father together. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you. We pray this prayer together. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Lessons from Holy Scripture are appointed for the first Sunday in Advent, the beginning of the new church year. The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah 64. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake in your presence. As when the fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, and that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things that we did not look for, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear, no eye has seen as God besides you, who acts for those who wait for him. You meet him who joyfully works righteousness. Those who remember you in your ways, behold, you were angry and we sinned. In our sins, we have been a long time. And shall we be saved? We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. There is no one who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have made us melt in the hand of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Be not so terribly angry, O Lord, and remember not iniquity forever. Behold, please look, we are all your people. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from 1 Corinthians 1. God will sustain you to the end. St. Paul writes, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Please stand as a sign of resurrection hope.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 11th chapter. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it, and will send it back here immediately.' And they went away and found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.' This is the gospel of our Lord." Friends, as we begin a new church year, let's bow our heads in prayer, and I'll be using a couple of verses from the hymn we just sang. Lord, we have eyes blind to your word. We have ears that have not heard. So forgive our unbelief. Give our aching souls relief. While I am a pilgrim here, let your love my spirit cheer. As my guide, my guard, my friend, lead me to my journey's end. Amen. Friends, even as we're going to be Well, what else would a church do but spend the first Sunday in Advent talking about Palm Sunday? I'll explain that in a moment. Hear these words again from our Old Testament lesson. Now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are all the work of your hand. Behold, please look, we are all your people. It didn't take long for me to discover that while perhaps you have found in a pastor a person that's rather unusual, after all, who's going to be fiddling around with the Advent schedule, that we also have got a church here that's just as curious. Here we celebrate Christmas in July. And we have managed to find the warmest day of the year to do an outdoor vacation Bible school, the windiest day of the year to do a Reformation 500 celebration in the park. The list goes on and on. So, shouldn't even be that big of a deal that, of course, today, as we begin a new church year, 1 year, 1 week sooner than a lot of other churches are going to do it, we're going to focus on the message of Palm Sunday. Now, actually, there's a couple of reasons for that, but not the least of which is that, if you remember, we have festivals here all the time, but if you think back to Palm Sunday, it's a full Sunday if there ever was one. And I'm sure you probably do remember it because, you know, we've got the palms passed out to everybody and almost every year we've got the kids singing here in church, and that's great to have. But the palm part of that service doesn't last long. That also happens to be the only Sunday in the church year where we read the story of the crucifixion and death of Jesus. Now, if you follow us in our Lenten services next door, we take more time over there to read those, but for those that focus mostly on Sunday, it's the only Sunday we have. And obviously, when you're having to go up against something like that, Palm Sunday is going to get short shrift. And it shouldn't. Because we need to recognize what has come into the world, what has come into our lives, and what we are preparing ourselves here at the beginning of the season of Advent to come back once again. Somebody who is very special. Somebody who was treated as king and more than a king. You know, I've been involved in a couple of times in my lifetime when special dignitaries, it is clear, were coming and things were being prepared for them. When my son was going to college at Concordia University in Mequon, Wisconsin, it overlooks Lake Michigan, he wasn't graduating that year, but the second President Bush, the most recent one, was going to be the graduation speaker 1 year at that college. And so even though all I was doing was coming at the end of the school year to pick up my son and his stuff and take him wherever it was that he was going to go for the summer until the school year resumed again, while we were there, you know, going back and forth from the dorm and loading up his stuff, if you've had a college student, you know exactly what I mean. Those dormitories that never have any elevators, but somehow your student always ends up on the fourth floor. And while we were doing that, there are all kinds of helicopters that were just taking off and landing and flying overhead, and it was clear that they were rehearsing for the event that I guess was going to be 2 days after we were there. They wanted to make sure, first of all, that the president was going to be safe, but then that everything was going to go smoothly so the president could feel welcomed. Then on a couple of different occasions when I lived in Atlanta, and I was on one of the Belt Route expressways, for a while I had actually been moving, which sometimes is a rare thing in Atlanta on those Belt Routes. But suddenly all the traffic was stopped, and I found out later, and only found out later, that President Obama had landed in the city, and somewhere ahead of where we were on the expressway, his motorcade was going to be coming through, so they just stopped the traffic. In both cases, it seemed like they were going to be taking steps to try to keep people away from the president. But here is Jesus putting himself at a spot where people could come right up to him, and in front of him, behind him, wherever it was that they wanted to go. And so how does he prepare himself to go into the city as that important visiting dignitary that are going to have people yelling, "Hosanna in the highest"? He obtains a colt, a donkey, if you will, and in the midst of that, the disciples who were asked to go get it, Jesus has to prepare them for the possible charge of theft. But it all worked out okay. He said, "The Lord has need of it, and look, he will send it back here immediately." And that's what happened. And as the people then are doing all these things, they're throwing their clothes, their cloaks in front of him. They're cutting down leafy branches from trees. We used to always talk about having them palm branches, but down here, what's the big deal about a palm branch? Still, it was a big deal for the Savior to be coming into the city. I'm not so sure that the people understood what was about to happen. A lot of them probably thought, okay, this is the time. The everlasting king, he's going to come in. He's going to throw out the government scoundrels. He's going to throw out the religious scoundrels. And he's going to establish his own new kingdom right here in the city. And I can only imagine that if Jesus were to try doing that today, he'd get about the same welcome. But still, Jesus had other plans. For all of the people that had the opportunity to greet him as king, oh, they were, you're never given a vote for a king, but they were going to be given a vote anyway. And whether it was the same people or not, the only vote that ever took place for this king was the crowd yelling as loud as they could until they were ready to start a riot, "Crucify him!" And this same king that came into the city on a colt went out carrying a piece of his cross. Friends, that's what the church year is all about. The church year that is now just beginning. Oh, now we're here at the beginning of the year, and Advent is here, and we're going to talk about not only it coming up for Christmas, which is what Advent does. It helps get us ready for the return of Christ, not just as a newborn baby, but also as he comes again as our Savior and King. But as we prepare ourselves for that, we're going to be hearing messages by people like John the Baptist and so forth. But then the seasons will go on. And, you know, for those of you that have grown up with the church year calendar, you're kind of used to this. For those of you that did not, and I'm sure there are more than a few anymore that go to churches that did not, we try to spend now about the next 6 months talking about the life of Christ, the life of Jesus, and what it is that he did for us. We will go through the events with the wise men, with Epiphany, and then him being transfigured before his disciples. Then we're going to go through the season of Lent, where we remember the terrible price he had to pay for our sins, culminating in Holy Week, when he really did pay that price, followed by with his resurrection, his ascension, the coming of the Holy Spirit in Pentecost, and then we'll spend 6 more months this coming year, maybe even a little more because Easter is early, celebrating what's called the life of the church. What the church, as it waits for Jesus to return again, should look like. But it really doesn't matter what the particular day is, what the particular celebration is. This is all about a Savior who did indeed set up a new kingdom for us, who did indeed come in as a king, but a very unusual king. That is, the people were actually allowed to approach them. He healed them. And for the people that were nailing him to the cross, he had these words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And as he was hanging on the cross and darkness came over the whole land, he got to experience what we will never again have to experience, where he looked up and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And even though it may seem that way in our lives, never again has God forsaken his people, thanks to Jesus Christ. That same king who finally said, it is finished. All that he had come into this world to do was accomplished by his death. And today we celebrate that. You know, it's interesting. Here we are. Just a week ago, we celebrated a celebration called Christ the King. And in between, we've had quite the week. Even I myself took a short trip up to Atlanta, drove up early Thursday morning, drove back early yesterday morning. That's why I'm hopping around on a bad knee again. Knees just don't like those trips, but that's okay. But in the midst of that, only 1 week has passed by. And here we are in a whole different church year, and in between, going from Christ the King to Advent, we celebrated Thanksgiving. And it wasn't much different. From 1 week in Palm Sunday to a week where Jesus ended up giving up his life, and before the people even had a chance to show up for worship, Jesus has risen from the dead. All of that we will be recognizing and worshiping as a part of our worships from week to week. But it's all about the same Savior. The Savior who reminds us that we indeed are all the work of his hand. It is all for us. We are the ones that get to enjoy what our Savior has done for us. And that's why he says, please, look, we are all your people. We are all your people in the waters of holy baptism. We are all your people because you have called us by name. We are all your own. In the midst of so many other earthly celebrations, my friends, we never forget what this is all about. The Savior that we come in every week ready to shout Hosanna in the highest for all that he has done. Because the day is going to come when there will be no more Advents, Christmas, Epiphany, Lent. All of that comes to an end. But that is when Jesus comes for real. Not riding on a colt, but ready with the angels in heaven to take us to his heavenly home. Yes, no matter what the name of the festival is, and we've still got one left in this calendar year for our own celebration here. No matter what the season, no matter what the weather, no matter what the time, no matter what it is that's taking place in our lives, we spend another year celebrating Christ, shouting because he has come as our King into our lives, into our worship, into our sacrament, and into our faith. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. So now let's confess our Christian faith to the words of the Apostles' Creed. You may follow along on the screen, or it's always on the inside back cover of the hymnal. Please stand as we confess together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please note the special prayer response that is up on the screen. Let us come before our Lord in prayer, asking him to hear our prayer and grant us hope. Lord of hope, as we begin this season of Advent, prepare our hearts that we would be made ready to receive your Son as he comes in his incarnation and birth, but also as he comes into our hearts through faith, make us ever ready for his final coming on the last day. Lord, in your mercy, Lord of hope, you have called your church to bear witness to Christ's redeeming work. Grant that throughout all the seasons, both of life, of the world, and of the church year, we boldly proclaim the good news of the one who brings joy to the world through his life and death and resurrection, that all the faithful may come forth together, along with the angels singing Gloria. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of hope, you have instructed us to pray for all things, but especially for workers in your harvest field. And so we ask that you bless and be with the faithful and loving preachers and teachers of your word, and those that are preparing in our institutions to do so, that they may be able to proclaim Christ near and far to young and old alike. Make us your instruments, that we always may be equipped also to serve you in whatever way we would have that you would have us serve your people. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of hope, we ask that you stretch forth your almighty arm, both to be with those people that serve in the public realm, our police and firefighters, as well as protecting the men and women who serve in the armed forces of our land. Especially during this time when they have to work during holidays, be separated from family, support them, grant them courage, and strengthen them to serve with integrity and honor, that they may be able both to protect and to serve. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of hope, you are the creator and sustainer of all things. According to your will, grant healing to those who suffer in body and mind. Look with favor upon your servants that are going through any one of the difficulties that we see, known and unknown. If it is your will, restore them to health. In the meantime, remind them always of the grace, mercy, and love that is theirs even during times of tribulation. Remind us always that your grace is sufficient for us. We now lay before you somebody in our life that is in need of the hope and the love and the comfort and the courage that you give, that we name in a moment of silence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus of hope, make us ready to receive your supper as we remember the one who is truly present. For with thankful hearts we pray, come Lord Jesus, confident that in his body and blood given us to eat and to drink, we receive the forgiveness of sins and so proclaim his death until he comes again in glory. For into your hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy and your promise to hear us for the sake of the one in whose name we come, who is coming again soon, your Son, Jesus Christ, who has taught us to pray his prayer, which we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The words of our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Friends, our service concludes in the middle of page 9 with the closing collect. We pray this together. O Lord, your Son comes humbly amid cries of Hosanna. Grant that Hosanna may be our cry too, as we look to the King of Kings for our salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.